You're listening to the Intercoastal Podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Intercoastal Podcast. I'm Daquan Mickens. Joining me today is Gamar Watts from Jalayan Grill and Bar, a Caribbean restaurant here in our downtown Beaufort area. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. We love to, you know, highlight the restaurants, and we love to highlight everything in our area for people to come and experience. So we want to give the locals and give people looking to visit the area something that they might not have seen, or if they Google it, they might not come across it. So that's kind of our job, is to highlight everything so people can find it in one spot.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So if you could, can you give like the listeners a little background about yourself, how you became, like how you came to Beaufort, and like what's your Beaufort story?
Beaufort story. I don't think I have a Beaufort story, but so pretty much I'm military. So mm-hmm. Served my country. So I'm a veteran, retired from the Marine Corps. When I moved to Beaufort about 2013, mm-hmm. Stationed in Japan for like 4 years.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, me and the family wanted to get some a little closer to home. So, I mean, I'm Jamaican, but I grew up in Florida, so to speak. The closest I could get to Florida with my job in the military was Beaufort.
Okay.
So when I got here, it was just like instant love, you know, kind of just fell in love with the community, mm-hmm. you know, the people. You know, especially the people here. I mean, you know, everyone has been so welcome and mm-hmm. open, and you know, open arms. And then, you know, the water. Oh my God, the water is beautiful. It kind of reminds me of Jamaica, just like a waterfront community. So mm-hmm. you know, it was just like, you know, love at first sight. So yeah. I knew Beaufort was going to be one of my homes. You know, but I didn't know it was going to be here this long. But I knew definitely it was going to be one of my homes for my first time I got here. So you know, just got here and saw an opportunity, and after I retired, I just kind of went for it.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool that, like, no, like, you know, you had other options, but Beaufort was like where you wanted to stay.
Yes.
Even if after you were like, you know what, this community, the people here,
yes.
they're so opening. And I can't explain how many times we've heard on numerous podcasts when people are like, yeah, I came to Beaufort and it was just the community. Everybody welcomed me, and
yes,
they're loving. And that's one thing Beaufort thrives on, and that's in our culture and our DNA, is the community. Yes.
The Southern hospitality.
Yes.
It's definitely here in Beaufort, you know. It's definitely, I mean, you know, again, you know, once you, I mean, if you go somewhere, you know, mm-hmm. once you get there, you know, and you bring that good energy, and, you know, I think the people just going to gravitate to you, and you just going to gravitate to the people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, especially when you can, you know, think outside yourself. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you know, I love the community. It's beautiful.
So what made you decide to open a Caribbean restaurant here in the Lowcountry?
Well, to tell you the truth, to be honest with you, I really wanted to open up a lounge, actually, mm-hmm. like back in 2014. Mm-hmm. You know, we had like a lounge type deal in Japan.
Yeah.
So I wanted to open the same thing here. And then I realized real quick, like, hey, that's not going to thrive in this community. Mm-hmm. Not a good business. So, but it was too late. We already got the building. We already got anything.
Yeah.
So I kind of like, you know, dig deep, like, okay, what else can I do? And I was like, man, I know how to cook. Mm-hmm. So I went back down, you know, downtown, you know, I was like, hey, can we open a restaurant? I was like, absolutely. And rest was history. We just kind of dive into the restaurant business from 2014. And we're here. Now we have two restaurants, we have a food truck, we are building a third one. Mm-hmm. So it's just, opportunity.
Yeah, and you usually don't hear that often, that somebody who owns a restaurant also has not only just a separate location for the restaurant, but then they also have a food truck.
Yes.
How has it been managing the food truck with the restaurant?
Well, to tell you the truth, so we opened up our first restaurant 2014 on Trask Parkway. Mm-hmm. Everyone called it a little house. It looked like a little small little house, but it wasn't a house, it was a restaurant. But we opened up that one, you know, given the location, mm-hmm. a lot of my customers, you know, came from, you know, the Burton area, mm-hmm. and also from, you know, Ladies Island.
Yeah.
So they was always telling me, hey, why don't you put one on Ladies Island? Why don't you put one, you know, it's after a couple of years, you know, after, you know, like 2000, 16, 17, around that time. Mm-hmm. So an opportunity came up. A friend of mine hit me up, was like, hey, man, you know, got a restaurant over here. You know, thinking about, you know, doing something else. Would you want to, you know you're interested? So mm-hmm. we went over there, check it out. I was married at the time. And just kind of got it. So we ended up getting a second location. And then, you know, the 2020, Corona happened. Yeah. So we ended up shutting down the big location. Mm-hmm. But we kept the smaller location because it's more like more of a takeout, grab and go.
Yeah.
So in the process of shutting down the big one, a year before that, 2019, we had bought a food truck.
Okay.
To kind of like expand our operation, you know, kind of like to take the food to the people. Because again, in this area, you know, like Jamaican food is, that's not really a thing here, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So I have to take the food to the people.
Yeah.
So I want to be able to do like the festivals, the carnivals, you know, like the Taste of Beaufort, mm-hmm. the water, I mean, all that good stuff. The fairs in Yamasee, Charleston, whatever. You know, I want to be, I thought I had a good product, so I wanted to take it to the people. So that was where the food truck kind of come in.
Yeah, that's a good plan, especially, you know, something unexpected like COVID happens. Right. To, you know, like, got to think on your feet.
Got to think on your feet.
And the first time I heard of you guys, I was working at the escape room.
Okay.
And one of my bosses came in with a to-go plate, and it was like rice and a pineapple. And I was like, that's because I'm originally from New York, so okay, I know Jamaican food very well.
Right.
And I was like, oh, where did you get that? Like, I didn't realize that was something here in Beaufort. Yeah. And they were like, yeah, there's a spot right here on Ladies Island. Mm-hmm. And I went in, I got some to-go food, and it was amazing.
Right.
So I was really ecstatic when you guys opened the other building in our downtown area, because Jamaican food is, a lot of people don't know about Jamaican food or the culture behind it and how good it is. So being able to, with downtown being like the main hub of where visitors come through.
Right.
Like I'm glad for you guys to be in that spot.
Yes, most definitely. SAB, we've been there for about 2 years now. So that's our newest location. Yeah. We had 906 Port Republic Street, downtown Beaufort. We've been there for about 2 years. I mean, again, you know, since we opened, the community embraced us. The community definitely support us. You know, something different in the area. Mm-hmm. But again, we've been welcome. We've been welcome open with open arms. So, you know, we love it.
Yeah. So this is a question I typically ask chefs when they do come on the podcast and kind of give their answers. I know it's a hard answer because you love all your menu items.
I do.
but what would you say your signature dish is at Jelani's? What would you recommend somebody to get?
Well, I mean, tell you the truth, it's supposed to be the jerk chicken, mm-hmm. but for some reason, I can't keep the oxtails on the shelf. You know, like if I got people come to the store, and if for whatever reason that day we don't have oxtails, they don't even want to buy anything. You know, they just get upset. Like, you don't have oxtails? How you not have oxtails? You're supposed to have oxtails.
Yeah,
but I definitely said the oxtails is definitely our number one seller.
Yes,
but I do recommend you try everything. You know, we have the Escovitch fish, you know, which is it's a real good, real famous Jamaican dish. Mm-hmm. We have the jerk chicken, of course. You know, we do local stuff like we do the shrimp and fry, the fish and fry. Mm-hmm. You know, but want to get into like the ackee and sawfish, you know, that's the Jamaican national dish. Mm-hmm. You know, we do like the jerk salads. You know, something light on the feet. And then, you know, we have the regular.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything. So, I mean, I love it all.
That's good. I just like to kind of pick a chef's brain. And
I got you.
And what people don't know is like, we actually came for Water Festival to your restaurant.
I brought my
family.
I met your family. Real beautiful family.
Yeah. I brought my parents and my mom.
Yes.
Like I said, I'm from New York, so she's the tough critic on Jamaican food, but she loved it. When we got downtown and actually like got down for the festival, she was like, oh, that was amazing. Stopped back by before leaving.
Well, to her, I say thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. The thing about it, see, for different chefs or for different, it's different for everybody. You know, like for me personally, you know, and a lot of people might not know this, but I make my food based on my grandma taught me how to make it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm telling you, my food is nothing compared to her. You know, God bless her heart. You know, she passed away. But I'm still trying to get her flavor.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still trying to get everything out. It's like I'm trying to perfect the craft. Mm-hmm. But happiness is, you know, I love to just kind of sit back and watch people eat the food, watch them smile, you know, give it a little thumbs up. Like, you know, that's what keep me going. You know what I'm saying? That's what I love about cooking. Like, I love to just, if I could just cook all day and just watch people eat it and just like, you know, the smile on their face, the joy, you know, the licking their fingers, just kind of get into it. I was like, you know, that's what I like about it. I love it.
It's that satisfaction of, oh, I did my job. Yeah. Like they're actually enjoying it and eating it well. And eating all of it. That's the main thing is when you see somebody's plate clean.
Right.
You know, yeah, I did my thing and I was able to put the food together. And now I can dust my hands off and move on.
But to tell you the truth, I mean, you know, one of the other biggest sides to me, which I kind of embrace, you know, a lot of times people have a problem, but I embrace critique. Like, I need that honest feedback. You know, if I make you a plate of food and it's trash, a chef is trash.
Yeah.
I've had better. How can I make it better? Like what can I put in to make it better? You know, it's just that continuous process improvement, you know, just, you know, continue working on your craft, you know, just kind of sharpening your skills. So I do want that positive feedback. Like, I'm not one of the ones to shy away from positive feedback. Like, please give me that positive feedback, you know, and then, you know, we go fix it and make it better because I will get that smile from you. You know what I'm saying? I will make you lick them fingers. So I do want to get that positive feedback.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And for me personally, that's one of the best things a owner of a restaurant, a chef can do, is that contact with the people. Yes. As you're sitting down, you're sitting and looking at the owner, or even when we were in your restaurants, I saw your daughters in their work, like they're learning the business and learning to work. And
you gotta teach them young.
I love that.
You gotta teach them young. You know, I have three daughters. I gotta teach them young. You know, they see me work every day, but, you know, they in school, so they see me work. So I love every opportunity for them to come there and just kind of see me interacting with the customers, kind of see me in my craft, so to speak, and, you know, just kind of show them the love I have for doing what I do. And, you know, hopefully some of that stuff could, you know, rub off onto them.
Yeah, and it goes hand in hand of what we do. We're hospitality industry. We're working with the people coming into the area, restaurants, hotels. So when you get to touch the people coming into the area, your daughters are learning early.
These
people are coming for they're looking to be satisfied.
Right.
They're looking for a product. Let me meet them with that product and give them more than what they've expected.
And I take my craft very serious. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, to me, everything that goes on that door like has my name attached to it.
Yep.
And, you know, I respect my name a lot. Mm-hmm. So again, if that's going out that door, that's Oxtail Watts. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's Jerk Chicken Watts. Yep. So I need to make sure my best effort, my best craft is out there. I'm not going to give something not mediocre, just any old, no. I'm very, very, very passionate about my craft and what I do.
Yeah.
You know, so that's just, you know, one of the things I want to teach my daughters and let them know, hey, you got to have passion. You got to have the work ethic, but you definitely got to have the passion for it. You know what I mean? Like, you have the passion, but no work ethic. So you got to put them together.
Yeah.
So absolutely.
I agree.
Yes.
And it's kind of like what you said, like you starting off like with your daughters in the building. Mm-hmm. It's like you said, I'm just trying to make what my grandmother made.
Exactly.
So then they can take that and be like, well, I'm just you never know where that leads to in the future. They can say, oh, I'm just doing what my dad was doing.
Right.
They can own their own business or restaurant.
Matter of fact, so I have two sons. I have two sons and three daughters.
Yeah.
So but my daughters was here when we did the ribbon cutting for that. You know, we cut the ribbon and we just kind of gave them, you know, I gave both of them a piece of the ribbon. Mm-hmm. And I say, you know, when you guys open up your own restaurant, I want you to pin this ribbon on it and, you know, just keep it in the family tradition, and you pass that piece of ribbon to your kids, you know, whenever that happened, and so on and so forth. And that ribbon will always get passed around. So it just family legacy.
Yeah.
You got to start somewhere. So, create that generational wealth, you know?
Yeah. I like to hear that. That's the small things you don't really hear from bigger restaurants and that's something you only can get in Beaufort is that small town feeling of this is family and it really is family.
Right. Really is family. Literally. Got my whole family working.
Yeah. So if someone has never tried Caribbean food before, what would you recommend they order first to kind of ease into it?
Well, I say ease into it. Try first. Well, it depends. You know, okay. Usually, you know, somebody walk in a restaurant, you know, I typically try to get the mood of the customer. I'm like, hey, what you in the mood for? Fish, you in the mood for steak, you in the mood for, you know, just get chicken, like what's the mood like?
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, once they be like, hey, well, I wanna try some steak. I'm like, okay, we have had oxtails or if they're seafood, you know, I'll be like, hey, have you ever tried our escovitch fish? And then I kinda explain the background of it and, you know, sound interesting. Oh, let me try that. So, you know, like I said, sometimes you got to sell the people the food.
Yeah.
You know, so and knowing the culture about the food is, you know, will make it good, because most of these people, I honestly tell you the truth, a lot of customers come to my store, I've never had Jamaican food before. Mm-hmm. So, but again, you know, I'm not going to just shove, you know, I'm not going to give them something. I'm going to, you know, find them what the mood is. Because again, I'm aiming for that smile. I want that smile.
Yeah. And that's the best way you can do it. I've went overseas to the Caribbean. And, you know, we stopped at a restaurant and just kind of ordered off the menu.
Right.
And it's best to just try new things.
Oh, yeah.
So that you never know what you can get. It might be like, oh, this is really good. This is my new favorite.
Right.
So.
But most definitely, man. So if you walk in a restaurant, man, you know, grab your beef patty, you know, something simple, something light, you know, jerk chicken and French fries, you know, French fries, you know, it's American, but we got the jerk chicken also. So you get a little bit of the culture, a little bit of American, just kind of mix and match. Mm-hmm. You know, we got the skewed jerk shrimps. If you just want to try some skewed jerk shrimps, it just depends on the customer mood.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you eat light, sometimes you want to really get in there. So it just depends.
I was going to say, it depends on how heavy you want your stomach at, or if you're trying to get something quick and keep moving.
And keep moving, exactly.
Yeah. So, you definitely had me at beef patty. That's my go-to. I definitely had to get one when I came.
Oh, yeah.
Did that with the wings and fries. But I had some of my mom's oxtail. She was a little stingy, but I was able to get one.
But I can't tell you how many times I've seen, like, you know, couples come in there and you're like, well, honey, just order the oxtails and we can share. And you're like, share? Mm-hmm. What you mean share?
Yeah.
No, you got to buy your oxtail.
It's hard to share. you guys definitely make it a little easier with the rice and peas.
Yes.
You know, all orders come with the rice and peas.
Yes, definitely. But rice and peas come with the steamed cabbage, which is like carrots and bell peppers, a bunch of herbs and spices mixed down, kind of, you know, saute, kind of steamed down. Definitely sweet plantains. Everybody's a flavor. Everybody loves the sweet plantains. Gotta have it.
Yeah.
Have customers get mad. Like, where's my plantain? Hey, Watts, you are missing my plant. Where is it? I'm like, don't worry about it. Let's go to the kitchen, get them aside. But yeah, just depending on the customer's mood.
Yeah. And like the best part is they get to ask you,
right,
hey, what's the most authentic Jamaican dish, or what can I have to make me feel like I'm having a traditional
meal? I mean, to tell you the truth, when a lot of people say the most authentic Jamaican or whatever it is, you see, in Jamaica, you know, it depends on where you're from. It's just whatever you can put together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's no one food that's, okay, this is, if this you eat this, like, you're a Jamaican if you eat this. Like, nah, Jamaica's just whatever we have available. You know what I mean? Because, you know, growing up in Jamaica, sometimes, you know, as young boys, we used to go hunting or whatever. And we'll just like, you know, this guy, he might bring some flour, make the dumplings. You know, we'll catch some fish and then we'll cook it, or we'll pick some breadfruit. Breadfruit is like it's actual fruit. That's that when you roast it, it's like actual bread. You know, that's the breadfruit, or, you know, some mangoes, or it just depends. There's no one food that makes you honorary Jamaican because I've ate that food. It's just, you know.
So one of the stories, like, I was there for your opening ceremony, and you told the stories about actually having to, like, season the chicken and stuff like that.
Yes.
I would love for the listeners to kind of hear that story of how you guys would do it.
So for us, seasoning everything, you know, because like a lot of people, like I've seen, and, you know, people just like throw seasons on and just cook the same day. But for us to get the full flavor, you know, like, so we'll season, you know, chicken for like 2 days before, you know, so where you can actually marinate and really get that full flavor. So, you know, we get like, you know, 50 pound or chicken or whatever, and then we'll season up today, but that doesn't get cooked until Wednesday.
Yeah.
So we season Monday, get cooked on Wednesday. So you can get that fully marinated, get that season in there, because again, flavoring is everything.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of like that's like our authentic Jamaican thing, is make sure everything is flavored right.
Yeah, definitely. Because the flavoring is everything.
Flavoring is everything.
So I've worked in restaurants where you just pull it out and throw it right on the stove, and that it is what it is, and send it out, and it reflects off of
everything, like, that goes out. Everything that goes out the door that I'm a gift to the people has to be A1. It has my name on it. I mean, that they're gonna remember me for that. And I tell it like, listen, they'll come to the restaurant. Let's say the music is bad. They'll be like, all right, we don't like the music. Let's say whatever, but they were not going to forgive you for the food. If the food is not good, they're not going to come back.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So you got to make sure the food got to be, you know, top class, you know, got to be, yeah, good.
Yeah. And speaking of music, what kinds of music and live entertainment do you guys have at your bar?
So we do have a variety of different things. So like on the first Friday, because you know the first the city of Beaufort put on the first Friday, we have a big turnout. They shut down Bay Street, and you know, I wanted to give the people, you know, something different. You know, so on the first Fridays we have like comedy, so we have comedy night on first Friday. So you can come on out. It's no seating reservations. It's first come, first serve. So whenever all the tables are full, and that's it. So try to get there early. So first Fridays. Second Fridays, we have the Candace Glover Band. So it's a live band. They do like R&B music type deal. The third Fridays, we have a local artist by the name of Gwen Yvette and her band. So it's like a Love Jones Friday, you know, more like some Aretha Franklin, Erykah Badu, just kind of like chill vibes. And the last Friday is reggae night. So I try to do something like on the Fridays where, you know, it's just something different from, you know, from the, if you want, you know, if you want to come out for even just kind of relax and just have a little bit of fun, you know, nothing too crazy. You could definitely come on down. You have plenty of entertainment. Also, the first Sunday of every month. So first Sunday of every month, we have an all you can eat brunch. You know, $50 up front, and all you can eat, just show up and eat. We have we provide live entertainment for that as well. We do like the saxophonist. So I brought a saxophonist, I brought a violinist, you know, drummers, just real good, mature live entertainment. So on our first Sunday brunch.
When we were there, I really enjoyed the music, and it's hard not to catch a groove when you're just sitting there eating. Anytime you eat and there's music playing, it's hard not, because you're happy because you're eating. So, and then you have good music in your ear. So it's just hard not to move when you start eating, and especially if you get a couple of drinks at your bar.
My bartenders, they're pretty good.
When we were sitting there, we saw you making drinks and giving us drinks and coming by and be like, how does it taste? And you're giving the refills.
Listen.
It makes it feel like I'm in your kitchen. I'm in your home. It gives it an extra step that you don't get at other restaurants.
The thing about me, and you could ask any one of my teammates, and I call them team members because I don't like certain words. Like when I get there, I'm picking up the broom. What you need me to do? Like I'm sweeping the floor. I'm in the kitchen cooking. You know, I'm outside dusting off the mat. You need me to clean the bathrooms. I'm very hands on. I'm very hands on with my craft. You know, I you know, things you learn from the military. You know, leadership by example. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like I would never ask anybody that worked for me to do something that I wouldn't do.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So I'm very hands on with it. I clean the toilets if you need me to clean the damn toilets. I, you know, whatever they need me to do. You know what I'm saying? I definitely embodied, you know, leadership by example. So I'm not going to just go there and just walk. No, I want to give everyone that come there the full experience. And again, the only way for me to do that is if they see me doing it. So they see me interacting with the customer. This is how I want you to interact with the customer. You know, they see me keeping the place at a certain level of cleanliness. This is what I expect. So again, you know, I show them, they see it, they know. So as soon as they see me, they're like, oh, here go Watts. You know, so.
Yeah, that's good for them to see too. Yes. Like you say, it's good. You want to follow somebody who's willing to get down and dirty with you guys. Absolutely. In the kitchen, you're all busy. They're in here sweating too.
Exactly.
You don't want the owner just sitting there in the office, feet kicked up while you're working and working hard. It definitely goes a long way.
Leadership by example. That's one of my cornerstones. You know, leadership by example. They see me grinding every day. They see me working. You know, sometimes when I come back, like even Saturday. So Saturday we did a jerk festival in Charleston. You know, we got there about seven thirty. Was there, cook all day. We cooked about 700 pieces of leg quarters. Like on the grill. You know, serve the people. They love the food. We're supposed to go till about midnight, and just because of the storm that's coming in, they end up shutting us down early, like about 8 o'clock. Packed my trailer up, packed all that stuff up, drove back down. When I got here Saturday, it was packed. I parked the trailer right in front, and I just got in there. And you know, my manager, she's like, I know you're tired, go home. I'm like, listen, if you guys are here, I'm here. So that's just kind of, you know, how I operate.
That's how, you know, you guys succeed and get in front and just kind of get in front of the people. People see that, like you said, the community sees it. So, and that's why people want to, you know, surround you guys with open arms and want to come and give you guys, you know, I know it's competition with restaurants and like it's different when it's locals, but with visitors and everybody else, they want to come and give you love.
Well, I mean, in anything you do, you have to embrace competition. You know what I'm saying? I love competition.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what they don't know is that I'm my competition.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if I can sell two plates today more than I sell yesterday, then I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't, you know, not to sound, you know, big headed, but like, I really don't care about the competition. I embrace it. I mean, it makes me work harder. You know what I mean? But again, you know, I'm my competition. As long as I'm doing, as long as me and my team and the people that surround me and, you know, we're making a better impact in the community, we're doing good today than we were yesterday, then we're moving in the right direction. So I embrace competition. I love it.
Yeah.
Hey, bring it on.
Yeah, that's a great attitude to have. Final question just for you. What would you tell someone who's visiting Beaufort, you know, about your restaurant, or, you know, why they should stop by and see you? Not even if, like, they weren't coming in to eat, or they were coming in just to see, why should they try and stop in?
Well, I know Jamaica is a good vacation destination. So, you know, if you haven't been to Jamaica and you want to experience Jamaica within the Low Country, you know, this is our Jamaica within the Low Country. And we are right next to the beach, right next to the water. So you can't kick, don't get no better than that. You've got, you know, we have the sun here, you know, it's nice weather. We got good food, we got good vibes, got, again, I cannot say enough, my team, and yeah, just to stop in. I mean, once you stop in, I promise you, you're going to feel like you're in Jamaica, you know, and matter of fact, we're going to make it so good that when you go to Jamaica, you're going to be like, I want to go back to July. I want to go back to Beaufort. You know, I want to go back to Beaufort and enjoy some of that Jamaican food.
Yes.
But yeah, most definitely stop in and, you know, and have a conversation with me, and, you know, we'll talk about it. Or if you stop, if you want something that we don't have in the menu, I can go by. I'll go by to make it for you. So, you know, just stop by and make it happen.
Yeah. And that's something you don't get anywhere else. I would say, as someone who has eaten in your restaurant, I agree. The atmosphere itself is, that's the main thing, the atmosphere and the food. Of course, the food.
You got to have the food.
The food's part of the atmosphere. Good food makes the atmosphere.
Yes, yes. They'll forgive you for anything else, but they won't forgive you for the food.
Yeah. So you guys are amazing. Could you tell the listeners where they can find you and how they can contact you?
Absolutely. So again, our newest location is at 906 Port Republic Street, downtown Beaufort. Our takeout location, we have about 15 seats in there if you want to sit and eat. It's kind of like a countertop seating. That's located at 102F Sea Island Parkway, right next to the Dollar Tree. Then we also have the food truck that's driving around. It's mostly on bases. So we have a contract with the base. So we're usually on Paris Island or the air station.
Yeah.
Or we do like festivals or, you know, carnivals or whatever events in the community.
Yeah.
We also have a Instagram page. It's Jalion Grillin' Bar on Instagram, on Facebook. We also have Janaya's Caribbean Cuisine on Instagram, Facebook. We are working on a website coming soon. But you can definitely find us on social media, and just matter of fact, if you go to Google and type in Caribbean restaurant in Beaufort, you know, we're the number one to pop up. So
yeah, that's good. And thank you so much for coming on the episode. This has been a great episode. I've enjoyed this a lot, just to kind of pick your brain and get into your restaurant and hear your story of how you started and where you've come from.
Okay, well, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here.
We'll love to have you again if you have any events or anything in the future. And for future events, you can also find those on their social media as well.
Yes, most definitely.
Thank you all for listening to the Intercoastal Podcast. You can follow us on social media at @visit_BeaufortSC on Instagram or at @BeaufortSC on Facebook. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review. We'll talk to y'all next time. This has been another episode of the Intercoastal Podcast, hosted by Daquan Mickens and the team at Visit Beaufort, Port Royal, and the Sea Islands, produced by Relic.